until for months and months I was wondering, because I knew long before Pastor Kim asked me that I was going to be bringing something, but I just didn't know what. And what he has been keeping me in the Word, I just didn't know the relation that it would have concerning this particular time, and especially this particular feast. And it has to do with all of our lives. And the more I listen since I've been here, with everything that has been brought, that's been going around, what the Lord has been showing me, and even more tonight as we went on there. And just as a confirmation of what was spoken about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that we're dying out to this, we've spoken it, we've prophesied it, and declared it tonight. But the Lord showed me a parallel to this in the Word in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. And at first I was wondering, what was it that he was trying to get over to me, and what did it have to do with this particular feast? And if you go in the first few verses, people who take it in the natural, they're looking at Israel, especially the northern 10 tribes, who had walked away from the Lord and were doing their own thing their own way. And it says here, "Woe to Samaria, the crown of pride of the drunkards of Ephraim, the 10 tribes." At first, when in other versions of the Bible, I couldn't figure out, because it speaks of Ephraim only, but it doesn't speak about the other tribes. But in the Amplified, it specifies the 10 tribes, that's the northern tribes, excluding Judah, and I believe it was Benjamin that was not part of that. "And to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley of those overcome and smitten with wine. Behold, the Lord has a strong and mighty one, the Assyrian, like a tempest of hail, a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty overflowing waters. He will cast it down to the earth with a violent hand." Now the Lord wants to destroy out of our lives everything that is contrary to his nature, which is all of the knowledge which is of the good and of the evil. And normally in each of our lives, what is the hardest one to discern whether it is from God or from the enemy? It's the knowledge of good, because it seems good, it sounds good, and it feels good, and it feels comfortable, which has been mostly the state of the church of Jesus Christ up till now. But that is about to change completely. We've seen the beginnings of it here on this particular feast, where all the strongholds are being revealed, and with Pastor Jay, what he has brought you last night, it all brought us into that area where we have to absolutely yield ourselves unto the Lord, so that we can receive from the tree of life instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he uses a violent one sometimes to break it out of our lives. You can figure that as trials or tribulations or all kinds of things that come against you to make rise to the surface how you're going to react to what's going on. And once you get the reactions, then it can be identified if you wait on the Lord and start to question. Because sometimes you wonder, where did this come from? How come I'm reacting in this particular way? It's something that has been brought into our lives, have been taught, it's been repeated over and over and over, and we've built a life on this. We've built our lives on that, and we react in those particular ways. Most times without even realizing that we're doing so. But God is about to destroy all of this and change us over if we will yield, if we will totally abandon ourselves into His hands. We don't necessarily have to comprehend what it's all about at the beginning, but as you go forth and as we go along the way, the Lord will reveal and we'll say, oh, look, this has changed. I would have reacted that way in the past, but now I'm reacting differently. That's when we'll realize, because it is Him who is in the inside, and He is building. He's destroying the old, but He's building the new too at the same time, as you spend time with Him. Not only in His Word, but later on in this particular chapter, I'll show you something that kind of blew me away. Because I've been taught for years and years that you learn a little here, a little there, and you know, you get changed by that. But if you're getting that your knowledge from the tree of good and evil because it feels good to your flesh and to your senses, then it's wrong. It's not right. So he says here in the third verse, he says, with alien feet, or something that is strange to us, the proud crown of the drunkards Ephraim will be trodden down. So everything that is old in our lives will be trodden down underfoot by this wild one. And the fading flower of its glorious beauty. This is where it gets deceiving, because he says there, it's beauty. It's beautiful. That's why so many people in our churches feel comfortable, because it's beautiful. It sounds good, but it's denying the very power of God, the very glory of God. Hey, I can do it. I heal the sick. I'm sorry. You and I don't heal the sick. Mm-hmm. It's the hand of God in us that comes about and heals the sick, mends the brokenhearted, and stuff like this. But the church world does not look at it this way. I healed it. Because you hear the testimony of many. Oh yeah, I healed this person. Sorry, you didn't. God did. He's the healer, not you. You're just the vehicle that God used to do the work, but He's the one that done it. And the other proof of that is you look at the life of Jesus. He said certain things that should give us clues as to how it works. He said, I only do that which I see my Father do. So we've got to keep on asking to have our eyes open so we can see the Father doing His works in the earth and go and do likewise. Just do what He shows us. Because He's the only one that knows what's going on in each life. We don't. We may think we do, but we don't, really. We don't know the deep secrets in a person's life, but He does. Mm-hmm. And He reveals it at His time. If the person is really seeking for the truth and is ready and willing to receive. But until that time, it's not time. We can do more damage. So that's why we have to be continuously looking to the Lord for everything. And that's not only with sight. Hearing. Jesus said it in His own way. I only say that which I hear my Father say. So in other words, everything that He said in His 33 and a half years on this earth, He was just repeating what the Father was telling Him and showing to Him. Oh, how far are we from being able to do this? We have to go through a transformation, yes, but it's mostly yielding unto the Lord and listening to Him, wait on Him. And for flesh, it's the hardest thing to do, because you're always wanting to go out there and get people saved, bring them to the Lord. But yet, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people do evangelism. They get them to say a very particular prayer, and it's got to be just done so in such a way. But yet, and then after that, they leave the person there. Mm-hmm. You give birth to a baby. Are you going to abandon your baby on the side of the road? No. You bring him home. You bring him into a place where he can be fed and cared for and brought out. And this is the one thing, the one area that the church has been totally lacking. And members of the church are going out there. They're getting all kinds of people to say the prayer of repentance. And then they leave them. We never see these people again. And it's just like dumping them into the wild to be devoured immediately. That's all wrong. But this is all about to change, because the commandment of the Lord was not to go and save the world. He said, go and make disciples. Discipling means it's a work, because you've got to bring them into the right. But you've got to do it by the Spirit. Because if you don't, you're going to have one dandy of a mess on your hands. And I think Pastor can attest to that.
Oh, yeah.
So this particular chapter is a kind of a foresight to what is happening. Because if you go to the next verse, which is verse 5, it says here, but in the future messianic day, the Lord of hosts shall become a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the what? The converted. Those who will convert to waiting on Him and letting Him be the primary force and the primary guide of their life, the force, the life force in their lives. That's what the word converted there means. It's a transformation in accepting what He's already done. He's done it. He's seated out there, and He's waiting for us to wake up and accept that which He has done already, that He has completed.
Mm-hmm.
When He died on that cross, He says, it is finished. So you don't have to wait to get it line upon line, and this. That's not the way to do it at all. Because when you receive Christ in your life, you receive the entire package.
Mm-hmm.
Because He is. All of what He says in that book, He is.
Mm-hmm.
And you are what He says you are.
Mm-hmm.
We are that. But until we say it, we declare it and accept it and receive it in our hearts. It's just like if I was standing here and I had a check for $1 million. I got it in my hand, I'm tending it to you, but until you come and pick it up, it's not yours, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But when you take it out of the person's hand that's giving it, you've got the whole thing. Well, salvation and the baptism of the Spirit is exactly that. When you receive it, you receive the entire package and all that goes with it. But you've got to accept. And sometimes it seems to be the hardest part, because a lot of people will say, well, oh, you're high and mighty and you've got a lot of fluff, and you're really patting yourself on the back. That's not it. That's false humility. I've got to be able to come and say, yes, I am the very righteousness of God. Why? Because it's not me that done it. He did it for me. So therefore, He made me righteous. He sanctified me. That means He's the one that set me apart. Because sanctified means to be set apart from. That you're taken from one place and you're placed into another. So from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. But you've got to receive it and walk it out. See, that's what is called being a doer of the Word. And that's the one thing that the church has been lacking for years and years. They hear the Word, but they're not doers of it. They hear it, it sounds good to their life, they believe that it is the Word of God, but yet they don't do it. And it goes on, and that chapter says it like this, in such a way. And He will come also, He will become a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment and administers the law. He's not talking about the law of do and don'ts and stuff like that. He's talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
And strength to those who turn back the battle at the gates. What gate would you think that is? Turn back the battle that is raging there and confess, no, I'm not going there. The Lord says, I am the righteousness of God, or whatever it is that is you're going on and the enemy is accusing you of. You turn it back at the gate, and then the Lord becomes a strength to you to fight that off. That means you won't have actually to say any particular words unless he tells you what to say at that particular moment in time. But just the fact that you refuse to go into that area, the Lord becomes a strength to you, and you will turn away from that and recognize it for what it is. And that, at that point in time, the Lord becomes your strength because you refuse to go into the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But even then, those that are in the church, they reel from wine and stagger from strong drink. They are confused from wine, they stagger and are gone astray through strong drink, they err in vision, and they stumble when pronouncing judgment. So anyone, when they don't yield, and that can happen to any of us. If we get caught by surprise or unknowingly in subtlety, the enemy can get us to do or say certain things, and all of a sudden, oh, sorry. But many don't. They think they've got it. They think this is the way of God, and they'll go forward with it. And many lives in the process are being destroyed because of things like this. And he states it further on. But he starts by asking another question in verse 9. To whom will he teach knowledge? Asks the drunkard. Because they think they have all of the knowledge, so they think, they ask God, well, to whom are you going to teach knowledge of the heavenlies? To whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are babies, just weaned from the milk and taken from the breast, is that what he thinks of us? Those that are astray, they are not on there. They think that hey, they're the ones and they're the teachers and the builders of the church. But it's not the way. Look at the very, I believe it's the very next verse. In most other translation, I have not found it written quite that way. But when I saw that verse, it kind of blew me away. Because what is the next thing he says? No, that's not the way. But the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way. By a people with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, says Isaiah, and teach them his lessons. You want to know, you want to get into a position in the Spirit where you will be able to receive revelation? Start praying in the Spirit. If you remember your gospel in the book of John, I believe is the 4th chapter, the woman at the well of Samaria, he says that in there that he will baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and it would become a river of life flowing into eternal life. Speaking in tongues where you don't, most of the time you don't understand what you're saying, but yet, you are speaking Spirit word by the Holy Spirit, and this will build you up. Another proof. Take your Bible and go to Jude, verse 20. And it says on there, and you, beloved, build up your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. But that even that verse at one point used to bother me. Because it says, but you, beloved, praying, building up your most holy faith. What is so most holy about your faith and my faith? It's not our faith. Because when we receive Christ, we receive the spirit of faith, which gives us the ability to say, Abba, Father. Because you cannot say these things unless you have the Spirit of God with you and in you. It's the only way. So the Spirit of faith, the most holy faith that is talking in Jude, is the very Spirit life of God in you, is to be built up by praying in the Holy Spirit. And at that point, what he's building is his house. He's building his spirit. He's building the very life of Christ in you. Galatians 4:19 says, who is our mediator? It says, because that verse says, the intercession until the Christ be formed in you. The real intercessor that is doing this until we do come to the fullness of the Godhead, of the Christ in us, is the Holy Spirit. Remember Romans chapter 8, I believe in the latter part, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be understood, because he is the one that knows the needs of our hearts to be able to bring us into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of life. Because we don't. We have been so badly trained throughout all of our lives, whether when we were in the secular world or when we came into the body of Christ at first, because they were walking mostly by the letter and not by the Spirit. And they tried to build kingdoms. And the very easiest way I found to be able to recognize them is when some people come to you and say, "Of what church are you? Where do you go? Who's your pastor?" I have a big problem answering that one, because the only thing I say is, "Church. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know one else." Because I've got quite a situation which is not very normal for most Christians. In the area, in the city where I'm from, the churches are in battle against one another. So where am I going to go? To be in an area where I will be hearing the truth of God taught, because they can't give the true word of God when they're fighting one another, and there's always one that wants to control the others. Life of the Spirit of God can't be there. Mm-hmm. But when and wherever there's a place where the Spirit of God is there and He is ruler, there's liberty. Like in here, I feel at home. I walk into the place, I'm at home right away. But I can't say that in most places that I've been to. So this is one of the important parts, because he says it. And the other reason why he says that is, it is by the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues that you will grow into eternal life. He says this, to the complaining Jews, the Lord has said, this is the true rest. Ooh. He's still talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And he says, this is the true rest. The way to true comfort and happiness. Oh boy. We've missed out on a lot of blessings from God for many, many years. Because he says, it's not me saying it, it's right there. And he says it in the last part, that you shall give to the weary. And this is the true refreshing. Yet they would not listen to his teachings. Because many a times, most times, people think, oh, they got it all. No. Only the Spirit of God can reveal what is hidden in these words. I read, just to give you an idea, I read these passages for years. Never understood what they meant. Then all of a sudden, for the last four months, the Lord has kept me in there and says, Lord, what are you trying to show me there? And I think I questioned him almost every day. Every time I got into the Word, I questioned him. What are you trying to show me? People are going around, especially ministries, they think, oh, they're going to build the kingdom of God. Sorry, God said through the mouth of Jesus, I will build my church. I will build my house or my temple. Every one of us here is a temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I will build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when we allow the Spirit of God to build us the way we're supposed to be built, the enemy hasn't got a chance. Because the minute he'll open his mouth, I'm going there. Bye-bye. So it all comes by the Spirit of God and praying, being in prayer. Remember little instructions were given in the New Testament. Pray always in all kinds of prayer. Giving praise, worshiping the Lord, do it in the Spirit, and then as He gives you the interpretation, pardon me, sing it out in your understanding so that others around you can be edified. But do it first in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and then you'll see things happen. There are times when I just go there, oh boy, that can't be possible. But yet it is. I've seen some of the things that the Lord has showed me the whole weekend since I've been here. I'm hearing Pastor Kim come out with certain things. Oh boy, is he going to give me my message away or what? And then Pastor Jay comes along. He goes around the pot too, but yet he confirms what the Lord has been showing me in there. So I'm asking you, is that the same spirit? Or is it the spirit of contrariness? Can't be. Because the whole theme of the whole weekend was getting out of the ways of the world from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, to get into the tree of life. But we've got to keep on asking the Lord and be humble enough to say, Lord, I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
I need your help because I don't understand anymore.
Amen.
The old ways are, you know, they're dying. The Lord is just destroying it completely, but He's the one that's doing it.
That's right.
We don't have to lift a hand. But yet most people are always trying to fight this and fight that. Yeah, I even made a mistake myself this morning. A word of knowledge was given, I believe, was it you that had the word of knowledge? About the spider and my brother's mom?
Yes. Yeah.
My immediate reaction was to fight it myself instead of waiting on the Lord. So that proves that we've got to learn to wait. But we need teachers, people who, like our brother here, has all of that knowledge, has experienced it for many, many years. He's able to show us the way. Yet do it in a way where it is constructive rather than destructive. Most of the people in churches, pastors and stuff like that, many of the times it's much more destructive. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know, you've got to go to war right away and cast that out and stuff like that. Ooh. We learned differently this morning. Yes, Brother?
I'm just remembering, I forgot about the spider that showed up this morning.
Yeah.
But I remember the minute I got over into this area,
yeah,
that I started to feel the pain in my back.
Uh-huh.
And witchcraft, that's how I usually identify it, is
mm-hmm.
lower back pain that
uh-huh.
comes. And then when we went together, we went
mm-hmm.
under the anointing of
right.
the Lord and took to release whoever it is that's
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know,
mm-hmm.
I forgot about the thing this morning. Yes. I wasn't thinking about any of that.
Yeah, we'll see that.
But see, it came in a different way
yeah.
to confirm that it was time to do something.
Mm-hmm. See, and I was not the one to be used in that area. He became the one to do it. If I had gone ahead and done something, I'd have probably done more harm than good. Because it wasn't the time, and probably I was not the chosen vessel to do it. There's so many things that we have to learn, and that's why I enjoy coming down here, because I know that there's a man that understands and has lived these things out, and yet he's just a man like me. He's a vessel. He's just the same as any one of us, but being listening to the Spirit of God and knowing many, many things, and knowing when it's time, when it's not time. Waiting. The waiting is the key. Waiting in prayer and then getting quiet before the Lord. Because there are times when I started to get this. I'd start reading, and I'd go maybe two or three verses.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, what are you trying to show me in there? And then I'd just sit back. And lo and behold, within a matter of 10 to 15 minutes, it's just like I'm gone. I'm totally oblivious to what is going on around me, and I can be gone many times as long as 2 hours. Other times it'd be an hour or half an hour, but there are times it can go up to 2 and 3 hours. And it's just like once I'm in that state, with in that place with the Lord, I'm hearing messages. But when I come out, don't ask me to bring them out. There's not a thing I can do about it. Many of the time, I don't even remember exactly what he spoke about. But yet, a year, 2 years down the road, or maybe a month later on, I'll go somewhere and then part of it comes out. Oh yeah, the Lord showed me that at that particular time. It was a time then, but it wasn't the time before. See, he's building his house. He's planting his kingdom in us. And he will bring out what needs to be brought out when it's time and where he has chosen to do so. All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Give me the instructions. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. And then just be obedient. And that's the hard part. It is very hard. But we've got to get that way. There's no two ways about it.
Amen.
The rest of the chapter, that chapter has other truth in there, but it confides. If people, there's a little warning in there. The Lord is saying to us, if we refuse to go that way, you can read it in that lower part, after the last verse I read, that if you refuse to go that way, then the word of God will become precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, here, there a little, but it will not be constructive. Because he says in that verse, it's so that they can be snared and taken captive. Ooh, I don't want to be captive to the enemy.
Scary.
See, there's a fine line in there. We've got to become willing to abandon our ways, our thoughts, what we think that should be done, mm-hmm. to do it His way.
Yeah.
We should realize as a church that the church, the body of Christ, has tried to do it for years and years and years. 2000, somewhere around there. And yet, they have not succeeded. That should show us something. Let the Lord do it because He said He would do it. And let's not try to get ahead of Him. Just follow Him because He said He would go before us. All we have to do is take His hand and let Him bring us wherever it is that He wants to. Speak out what He tells us to and do the things that He shows us to do. And that's it. We've got nothing else to do. And all the time, He's the one doing it. And then this way, there's no way whatsoever that any one of us could take the glory. Because we haven't done a thing. He's done it all. So thank you, Lord.
Can I just ask you? Sometimes I'm moved in, like, with compassion to pray over someone. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When you're moved...
Yeah.
That means it's the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit is in there and He's kind of pushing you. He's kind of pushing you that way.
Okay.
It's just to give you an example. I would be driving around in the city of Granby, going to a store to pick up something or to do whatever. And all of a sudden, I got to turn right here. I'm wondering, what in the world am I going to do down that way? I stopped in front of a house. And our two ladies that we're talking about, one is 90 and the other one is 78, 79, somewhere around there. And they needed ministry. They were in a bad space or something. The Lord had a message to give them. I'd go and visit them because we've been friends for quite a long time. We know one another very well. But then I'd be in the house and all of a sudden, just open the Bible and get into the Word, and sometimes we'd be there for an hour and a half. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. I did not prepare anything to share with these people. It just happened. Through pushing of the Holy Spirit. That's it.
I'm going to ask you to take Judy in, but not the normal way. Okay. I want Judy's hand on top of your hand.
Okay.
That's it. I want you two to join. And then I want Joe, put your hand on top of hers. I'm teaching you how to impart. You do not impart on the inside of the hand. You impart on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we, as a body of believers, are joined together. But notice now, the two connections are going to impart. Okay? Are you ready? Every one of us, repeat, except for my brother and sister from Canada. Say, Lord Jesus,
we're imparting
the gift of grace, mercy,
compassion,
and love,
to the saints in Granby,
that are connected to these two,
and
those that will be gathered,
unto them,
for your glory, in the days ahead. We trust you, Lord, that as we have received from you,
we release
now an impartation to both of them, that they shall do.
And be
what God has planned, for them,
for
the glory of Jesus, to transform, the saints that are called, to go higher, in Jesus' name.
Thank
you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Any additions?
When I get messages from the Homeschool Association,
mm-hmm.
and there is one tomorrow in the Senate of Massachusetts. There is a vote for the pandemic.
H1N1.
But in the state of Massachusetts, the law is that's to be passed is going to be so. Let me just get the right wording. I don't want to misconstrue. It's rather. Here we go. This bill grants authority to local and even unlicensed government appointees to vaccinate. It grants police the power to incarcerate without a warrant adults who refuse to be vaccinated and the right to seize children if their parents refuse. This group, it's a homeschool group, understands the need for government to be able to protect citizens during an emergency. But they are not of sufficient magnitude to justify granting such broad, undefined, and sweeping power to the government. So they're asking for prayer. This is rather extreme. I do know another piece that I read said that there could even be a serious fine to those that refuse.
I'll add to this because it's not only in the state of Massachusetts. The state of Texas has already brought that out.
And New York State is already doing it with health workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already the law is already in place, but there's a resistance that's forming.
Mm-hmm.
Judy,
I received some connections with many health groups, and the word that they're giving out is the vaccine is more deadly than the flu. Do not vaccinate your children.
Yeah.
And they're just figuring out what they're trying to figure out. How to make the vaccine. They don't know. And evidently there have been some bad things from people that have already taken it, the vaccine.
Well, my mother was in a hospital last week, and just before we were released, the nurse came and she says, we would love to vaccinate you. And my mother looked at her and she says, in no way are you touching me.
Mm-hmm.
It came right from her heart. It was like instant.
Before I came here, Bob asked, we discussed this, and Bob said, well, should I get the vaccination? Because when he just went to his doctor, they didn't have it. He got the regular flu shot, and he said, as soon as it's in, we'll notify you, and we want you to have it. And Bob was all excited. And I personally feel that he shouldn't.
Well, again, I think it's a personal decision, but what I'm going to ask you to do is let's just agree to go to the Lord and see what he wants us to do. Individually, as intercessors. And if the press comes in your heart from the Lord, this kind of information is good because it puts you to the prayer closet, but don't activate something that is not of God, whether you perceive it or not. We're talking again about the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. What is God saying to you to pray and intercede for? So, information is good, but then reflect and go back to your Lord.
Amen.
Go back to your Lord. Mm-hmm. There are many times that when you're reactionary, you're going to get caught in what you think is God, and it may not be God.
Right.
So,
I'm always suspicious when fear comes in.
That should give you a clue.
Yeah.
When fear comes in,
yeah.
What am I doing? Am I being reactionary?
Not, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and see, there's another letter. I don't know. I don't think I've sent it to you, but it's circulating. You would have to see it because it's. I believe it's in French. In that area, they're saying on one letter that I received that even those who made the vaccination, they're saying to their family not to take it. That should give you a clue. That gives us a clue of how bad it is. And they knew about H1N1 and had strains, which were, some people were vaccinated as far back as 2007. And there has been repercussions in that area because people have died from it. So that should give us a clue to go to the Father to... Let him take care of it and give you your instructions as to what to do, because with all of what is being brought forth all over the place, it's, we just don't know, because one is saying this, the other one is saying that. But we know that government-wise, across the world, it's not just the United States, it's Canada, it's everywhere, they're trying to make it obligational for everyone to take it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
I have a positive thing to say.
I'm sorry.
On the internet, and I can't remember what, maybe Bob knows, the National Institute of something or other.
National Institutes of Health?
Yes, that's it. Okay. The new president, he says that there's no conflict between God and science. And this is, I mean, for that body of scientists and everything, there a lot of them are against him because he's saying that, but... He says that he used to believe there was, but like a couple of years ago he found the Lord, and so praise God.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Father, I ask that you would guide them home safely, that you would give them traveling mercies, refresh them, and for those who are ordained to be here, we'll be meeting again tomorrow at 11. God bless you. Share some hugs with each other, and be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, thank you,
Aaron. I'm not. No, he's not going to be here till Friday night.
Oh.
Or Friday afternoon. His airplane's coming in around 5.
Okay.
So I hope we'll be here for 7.
Okay.
Just pray.
Oh, that's for Ben.
Ben, yeah. He's pulling in on Friday.
Oh.